Hello. It's past the gravy time again, gang. And I've got Ty Trevathan hanging out with me tonight.
Hello.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going.
I don't know why we're talking in weird accents.
You know why. You know what this is. It's a guy from Delaware.
The guy from Delaware.
It's a guy from Delaware.
It's a very good guess of where this accent would be from.
If I had to take a guess...
I don't know what people from Delaware sound like, but this sounds probably like what I would guess they would sound like.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah. We saw Royal Teeth tonight at Warehouse Live. We got to talk to them, and we'll let you hear that interview in a second.
But first...
We've got a few things to talk about. And first, we'll lead with... some concert etiquette that we noticed. We noticed both this weekend at the music festival that we attended, Free Press Summerfest.
But more blatantly at the concert we just...
more recently this evening at Royal Teeth. Royal Teeth is a phenomenal band live, and this is not to take anything away from their performance, because they killed it.
They did.
And this woman had nothing to do with them. It's just the fact that when you weigh close to 300 pounds, you probably shouldn't be able to barge your way through a crowd and act like you're going to just... get your way right up to the front.
With no regard for any other...
it was dangerous.
It was dangerous.
People could have lost lives.
Yeah. I lost mine tonight.
I lost a little bit of me.
In that. A little bit of my soul was...
it may or may not be late at night, but whatever. We knew we had to talk to you guys.
It is what it is.
Spread the word. Mostly because you asked us questions. I already said you're filling in for Curtis, right? Yes.
I think.
Well, if you didn't already know, Ty's filling in for Curtis. At Ty Trevathan on Twitter. At 790AlexM, if you want to follow me. You should. At Pascary Pod for the podcast. And if you want to just go check out our awesome website, you can do that at pastdegreepod.com. Royal Teeth or royalteethmusic.com and at Royal Teeth Music, and I'm done promoting things. So, we're going to get to your questions for the answers segment, and Ty has not read them at all.
I have not.
I found the worst ones I could, so, to make sure it was interesting. Our first question this week comes from Max Elliott, and he says, colored pencils or African-American pencils? It's a valid question. In this day and age.
Well, I think the obvious answer is African-American pencils.
Why African-American pencils?
Why not?
What about a yellow pencil?
I have a problem with that.
What about a tan pencil?
Nope, doesn't do it for me. African-American pencils
sounds... all of the pencils.
Sounds right.
The same colors that they already are.
Yep.
The answer, we're going to have to disagree. Yeah. I'm going to say we should stick with colored pencils.
Well, that's fine. You're wrong.
All right. We disagreed on that first one.
We did.
We're going to quickly move to Alex Duran's question. And he says, wool caps, comfy attire, or brimless abomination?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well worded as well.
Oh, man. wool caps. I'm not too familiar with
a wool cap. It's like a beanie? Is that what he's going for?
When I think of a wool cap, I think of something like Jeremiah Johnson would wear. I'm going to go with a brimless abomination.
See, I think you're just very shallow-minded.
Okay, that's
and you're not really fine. Saying, I think a wool cap could very easily be a beanie.
Okay, well, it could be either one. But I'm going to go with
I'm gonna a lean brimless beanie. Abomination. If it's a beanie, I think that's...
I don't know, but I think, if it was a beanie, he would have said beanie. Because beanie...
unless he wanted to be witty for this fucking question thing.
Well, guy...
I tell them to tell us, to ask, send us their worst questions.
Alex.
So I'm really kind of putting us behind the eight ball.
Yep.
But I guess it's another 2 for 2, we're going to disagree.
All right.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
And that's all we had to say on that? All right, Will Hansen, final question of... the week. What is a bigger crock of shit? A shit from a crocodile or the phrase crack of shit.
That's another clever one. I'm going to go with the obvious answer, a shit from a crocodile.
I think that would probably be a bigger shit.
I think it would be a bigger shit than
is,
a crock of shit.
Is the phrase crock of shit?
The phrase crock of shit.
Shit? I think it is.
It is, but not as much as a shit from a crock
of shit. And I feel like that would be more of a crock of shit.
Yeah, definitely.
So I would count it as a bigger crock of shit, regardless of how big the actual shit
stupid
itself was.
Question, Will Hansen, but we answered.
They were all stupid questions. We encourage stupid questions.
Right.
But yeah, we've wasted a lot of time. So, I guess, here's Royal Teeth. Here's us talking to them. They're pretty badass. Go buy their new album, Glow. 30 seconds.
Now.
Royal Teeth.
Hello, podcast fans. Adam Carolla here. I'm leading the fight against patent trolls who are threatening this medium. It's not about me. It's about the podcast you're listening to right now. If I go down, this show could be next. Visit fundanything.com/patent troll for more information on how you can keep podcasting alive. Thank you and mahalo.
I'm a working man. I gotta pay my bills.
These guys were pimping it like it was candy.
A pack of wild dogs took over and successfully ran a Wendy's.
Oh, look at me, the millionaire who goes to see doctors.
Just smile and call me. You filthy animal.
What is this, a prey? The game is cold, but
it's crazy. What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
The only thing I think of when I think of my kids growing up in this country, if they say, Dad, what do we have left that's American-owned? And I say, Son, I mean, there's not much to choose from, but that's what we have Pabst Blue Ribbon for.
Child, please.
We got the Royal Teeth in Houston. You guys just said y'all came from Lafayette?
Yes. We were doing a couple of days of rehearsals in Lafayette.
So. Are y'all in the middle of a tour right now?
No, we've actually had a decent bit of time off. Just we kind of writing. Yeah, it feels like too long.
But, how long did you guys tour for Glow?
Basically since August, and we wrapped up in February-ish, early March, around South by Southwest, and we've been off since then.
How long have you guys been a band?
3.5 years. Yeah. Almost 4 years.
Yeah. Getting close.
That's still pretty new. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for a relatively young, like, new band, you guys have gotten noticed pretty quickly. Like,
that happened really fast. That was I think the most unexpected thing, because when we first started doing this band pretty seriously, we saved up money and we wanted to record a EP and do it the right way. So we drove to Charleston, South Carolina, and there's a producer that we knew there that we could get a good price from, and we knew he could give us the quality we were looking for. So we did that, and at the time we had maybe 10 songs total. We just went with everything we had, and we ended up recording 5, and that was the EP that ended up getting us signed. And I mean, that happened shortly after. I mean, we went to South by Southwest that next, whenever it was coming up shortly after when we released it. And, I mean, maybe a month after that, the deal was signed. So that part of the band was so fast that I was just like, oh, crap, you know. And then after that, it was just like, okay, now we have to start touring. Because we hadn't even really toured much, you know. When we did South By, it was like...
We'd only done, like, South By Southwest and CMJ. That was the only two out-of-state shows we played before we got signed. So we kind of just focused on Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Lafayette markets. And, you know, tried to make the most out of those hometown life.
All of you are from Louisiana?
We're all from Louisiana, yeah. Me and Thomas are from Lafayette. Gary and Josh are from New Orleans. And
I'm from Baton Rouge.
Yeah,
Baton Rouge. Spread out.
Over.
How'd you all come together? Like, how'd you find each other?
The three of us played in me, Thomas, and Josh played in the band together before he got displaced after Katrina. And then, I guess, we started...
Y'all's band broke up, and y'all were still booking shows. Wells and Hef would book shows for other bands around town, and I had a band at the time that was pretty much at its end, but he would book shows for me, so I had a little bit of a, I knew him through, I had never really seen them before, but I kept in touch over the phone, and we actually finally played a show together, so we became buddies, and their band was pretty much at its end, too, so Wells basically told me, he said, well, if you leave your band and move to Lafayette, I'll start a band with you. And I used to look up to those guys, like, oh, I used to go see them and think, oh, these guys are so good, I want to be in a band like that. So I basically quit, I quit the band, and I moved to Lafayette, and I moved in with him, and we started what would be Royal Teeth. And, I mean, he had an instant connection with him, so when we started actually getting pretty good, we started trying to branch out and make, you know, get some more members, and so Hef started playing with us again. And
so it happens to every single band that you like, we break off and start another one, we try out drummers.
Yeah, and then we do
that. Yeah. You go to like two or three just to like...
We took him out of law school for this.
It was awesome.
Yeah, he finished his first year, and now he's doing this, so...
So now if you get in trouble, you're good, right?
Yeah. It was the same story with the band that we had before. Like, we never had a band before then. Like, we split, and I started something else, and we tried out all these other drummers, and then, we called Hef, and then the band started doing its thing. Yeah.
And
it's just the same thing as like
this time. This is Nora's first band ever. So
wow.
She, you played at a coffee shop with your brother and stuff.
Yeah. I graduated and I wasn't really trying to pursue music, but I used to sing with my brother for fun, and of course my mom put up videos of it, and they saw them they looked it up on YouTube because they heard that I could sing, and I knew a couple of the guys from going to school in Lafayette, so Gary sent me a message on Facebook and asked if I wanted to join the band, and I thought it sounded like fun.
Now she's here with us, 7-5 dudes in a band.
Yeah, how is that? How's traveling with so many guys?
It's not as bad as you think. We actually used to have another two different members. Thomas recently joined the band. We had a different guitar player and a keyboard player. So now there's at least one less person, so we each get our own seat in the band, which is nice.
And we used to get one hotel room.
Yeah,
we were seven people in one hotel room. The six guys and Nora.
Yeah.
One
like two people to a bed.
And then just all over the floor.
It was a mess.
That was a nightmare.
Yeah. And it was almost like the first year of touring.
We
a whole year.
We signed, but we were signed to an independent, so you know, we didn't get like a big, we didn't get tour support and a big budget, so everything we knew we were spending, you know, we'd make this much per show, and this is how much we're spending every night to sleep. So we're like, I'll just get one room and we'll crash and we'll save a few bucks here, and then we'll be able to.
Then you can eat.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Comfortable.
So
you do like food.
A comfortable situation, but it definitely helped, pay for the gas and stuff.
Do you feel like signing with a smaller record label or a more independent record label made it easier when, like, creatively, I guess, when putting together the album than it would have been if it was just a huge label?
Absolutely. I don't think they really touched much of, like, what we did. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the label had some mixed notes when we came back, but, like, I mean, we A&R'd the record basically ourselves.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I guess it's hard to tell because, you know, we've never had the experience of working on a major, but from basically what he said, they said, okay, what you got? And we... You know, presented the music, and they said, "Okay, well, who do you want to work with?" And so then we looked for producers. So it was very, you know, we believe in what you're doing, so just do your thing,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty much how it happened. I mean, I think only maybe there was a couple times we worked with like a co-writer. That was like our decision to do it, just to try something new, just to work with a different mind. Because we would get kind of, we'd be writing all these songs. We'd have like 16 songs. We're like, we need like an outside opinion here, just to kind of help us out, give us some different ideas, just to kind of. You know, because when you're in the writing process, you tend to go crazy.
Do you all write collectively?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we all have different, you know, we're separated by a few hours, so Nora and I will come up with songs on acoustic, and I'll email it to them. So, like, we have people that are, like, certain songs are more created by this person or that person, but once the idea started, what I call the skeleton of a song, you know, then we all get in the room together and see what we all can add to the table. So we like to have that... the opinion and the style of everybody. So I think that's what makes it
mm-hmm.
its own thing. Yeah.
I was going to ask, what influences do y'all have as a band?
I think
you can do it individually if y'all want.
Yeah, I think we have, like, there's a few, you know, like, just overall influence the band has in general, but I think it's kind of our own, a lot of our own.
Sure.
I hear a lot of different things. Make it very unique, yeah.
What do you hear?
God, I hear 80s. I hear just, like, indie, pop. I mean, so many different things. Like,
you guys really remind me of the Mowglis.
Okay.
I'm really pissed that I didn't get to see you guys.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Now, they have a lot of people.
Yeah.
Cool.
They have, like, 19 people.
Dude, they really, at one time,
dogs.
I think they were traveling with 11 people in their van at one time with two dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we toured with them, it was 11
yeah.
with two dogs.
Because they had, like, girlfriends.
At that point, the dogs have to help,
though. The dogs, like,
I couldn't
up,
sit straight
like,
up
no,
without a dog
in
my
yeah,
life.
Yeah, that's right.
That whole time.
Do
yeah,
a lot of people travel with pets?
That was the first one.
No, that was the first. That was the first. And I don't think you're far off. I think when the band, especially when we first started, the 80s thing was a little more prominent, I think. The old. I guess it actually it is on Glow, too. I guess I don't think about it like that. And then I look back and listen to it, and I'm like, this totally sounds like a. You know, this kind of music. But I think when we first started writing together, we made it a point to try not to be, we didn't want to try too hard to be something. Like,
right,
we want to be this
indie,
cool,
sure.
hip, indie band. You know, we're writing catchy pop songs, so let's just see what happens. But I think the band atmosphere kept its place, which I was really happy it did. I didn't want to lose that. But, I mean, the whole idea of it is just to write really fun songs. So that's kind of where it started, you know. So we get it from everywhere. I mean, I listen to everything from, like, pop music to really interesting indie music. I mean, we all have been... Thomas has
well,
a side
like,
project.
You have, like, a lot of, like, a big, wide array of influences, but then, like, this band has a sound, so it's like, what things do you like that you can add to this particular situation? You know, like, there's certain things that you know, I like about this band, so, like, if it's, there's influences in that area that I like, you know, but, you know, we all like stuff that's completely different from what we do, of course, you know.
Yeah, and Thomas came in, I guess, like 8 months ago now. Getting close to it.
Yeah,
he came in. He's been a huge part of, like, writing the new material, which is, like, you know, taking us in a different direction.
Cool.
Not a different direction. I mean, still the same type of music, but it's definitely...
Slightly different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to play a new song tonight, so you guys can...
Any, like, specific bands or artists?
What do we play a lot when we're in the van? I'm trying to think.
Fleetwood Mac.
We play a lot of Fleetwood Mac.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's see. I mean, I guess we kind of look up to some other big bands, you know, like big bands like with a lot of members. Like, I like to watch Arcade Fire.
Mm-hmm.
They like that kind of
yeah.
that kind of vibe.
Big
they have a big energy and where they kind of coexist with each other on stage. So that was one thing I kind of respect a lot. Because we try to have create a lot of good energy on stage together.
You guys are a really fun live band to watch.
Thank you.
When I first saw you guys when you played with MOBA, that's kind of what I took away with that the most.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was what
but
got
we,
me interested.
It's weird though. I mean, like Thomas was saying, we like so much different stuff. Like your favorite artist is Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not very
royalty. Yeah. Can't take all the influences into the situation. It's a mess.
So, I mean, we all like so much different stuff. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
How'd you guys come up with the name?
It doesn't mean a thing.
How many times do people confuse you with royalty? How many times do they
I think a lot of, like, they're on stage when people, if we're playing a festival and somebody just, like, walks up, like, oh, what's this? You know, and Gary's like, we're royal, and he tries so hard, but it's sometimes, we're royalty. And people were like, so what's the name? Is it royalty?
Royalty.
I think that's one of the reasons I actually liked the name when we made it up, because it was like a play on words, and that's kind of the reason we kept it, I guess. I mean, it's a really crappy story, and there's no big thought out plan as to why we were called Royalty. I mean, I don't think we expected the band to do so well when we first started it, and Wells had Royal something, and I had a name with teeth in it, and we just clashed the two words together, and we thought it was funny, and
sounds more deep than it is.
Yeah. We need to pull the certain
super boring story, but that's about it.
It's a good result, though.
Most band names are.
Yeah. I've heard the Maroon 5 won't even say what they're like, working on.
We need to do that. That sounds like a great idea.
Like,
there's a mystique
just,
to it.
Yeah.
No one else
don't tell them your name.
Yeah.
They said it's so bad, though, that that's why they don't
want to. Oh, it's such a crazy story.
It's so bad.
Your mind.
I heard that with the Foo Fighters, too. Dave Grohl
really?
Said if they knew they were going to be that big, they wouldn't have come up with such a stupid name.
Yeah.
It's funny, you think about like bands that have been around, they're big for so long, like you don't even think their names are silly. Like
Butthole Surfers.
Like, yeah, right. That's awesome.
The Black
Eyed
Peas.
I love that.
Like,
yeah.
The Black Eyed, like,
that's
your name. Horrible. You're selling those stadiums. You're
Corn.
The Black Eyed Peas.
So many bad names.
Corn with a K.
Corn with a K.
Backwards R.
In a backwards R. What's that one, Patton Oswalt has the joke about?
Oh, God.
What is it?
Oh, man. Remember. It's like an 80s metal kind of,
Night Ranger.
Well, he did that bit about Night Ranger with the, with all the steel in the warehouses.
Is it, dude?
Which one? Which bit? Which one?
The cheat? Like, the,
I'm not going to remember it.
Oh, well. Moving on.
Jackal with a Y.
Jackal with a Y.
Yes.
Oh, Jackal with a Y.
I think that is a real band name. It's a real band called Jackal. I need to look that up.
I've had a history of really bad band names. I don't think I've ever had one where I was like, this is the, like, amazing. This band name is so good.
Yeah. What's the worst name you've had?
Oh, man. Royalty? No, I'm slipping. Oh, I was called the Lost Remotes once.
Lost Remotes?
Yeah.
That's a pretty badass name.
It's like a great name. Yeah, and then we called ourselves Riot. And then I realized it was a band called Quiet Riot.
There's a band called Riot.
There's probably a band called Riot.
Yeah, but I don't think it was at that. But they were together.
I'm talking like, this is, I was like,
I'm gonna go find,
I was like, just learned, I was young.
I'm gonna go find
a, we don't have any recording.
MySpace page.
I'm not even in high school yet.
You had a cassette tape recorder.
I bet
you had a MySpace. Put a blanket over you. Tape recorder.
Yeah, so. There's a few.
Done that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And y'all probably have some?
Oh, yeah.
You're not gonna go there.
You're not
gonna go there?
Yeah, we don't have to do all that.
Okay.
I don't even.
Brocious.
Yeah.
We'll go there. Brocious. I had one called Downfall.
Brocious.
Yeah.
It was named after a high school teacher.
Yeah.
Brocious?
Yeah.
Someone's name?
I feel like these days it kind of states, and all I think about is bro. Now I'm saying.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't, the bro wasn't like a big thing in the, I don't know.
At that time.
Bro became like a thing.
Yeah, it was
just
like a
stigma now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. There were definitely bros then, though.
Yeah.
But just bro wasn't a thing.
How did you guys get to be on American Idol?
And how we still don't know. No, we were actually on tour. We're in Columbus. And we just got a phone call from our management. And they're like, American Idol, somebody from American Idol just called. And they wanted you guys to play.
Was that like a shock? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We were very confused.
Yeah, we
you think they wanted
jokes.
To be on,
like,
American Idol?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Was like,
no.
Oh, they must, like,
you
mean, like, they want, like, somebody wants to sing our song, they want to use our song or something, you know? I'm like, oh, that's cool. And they're like, no, they want you to, like, play. I'm like, no. So, like, I don't think, like, it really, like, any of us believed it, so, like, we're actually on the plane. We're like, all right, maybe this is real.
Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah, Harry Connick Jr. Just, they were doing a series where each judge would pick, like, a rising artist.
And he picked
us. That's so awesome. Yeah. I had no idea he knew who we were. So.
I was about to say, you didn't meet him before or anything?
No. We met him at our sound check in L.A.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was really nice.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Was Simon there?
No.
He's,
I don't think
he's
on the show.
He wasn't a judge at that time? No, he was, yeah.
Who were the judges?
Keith Urban, Harry Connick Jr., and Jennifer Lopez.
Jeez, not bad.
No, it was...
Yeah, we got to hang out with J-Lo for a sec.
Yeah.
Did you know how to dance?
Yeah, boys. It was, never, it was funny because it was the performance was recorded the day before.
Well, you can the dirt.
I don't think you can say that.
Yeah,
the contract
was
signed.
It's a podcast. You can say it.
Yeah, yeah. Say whatever you want.
Yeah.
No one cares.
But I don't know. Yeah, she came and, like, watched it in the room with us and stuff. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So we watched J-Lo watch J-Lo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I think we're all too scared to say anything to her. I don't think one of us even said hi.
No.
No,
I was just like, I just noticed she was in the room. Like, I walked in the room after getting the stuff on stage. She was just standing in the middle of the room. So I wanted to turn around and leave. Just because I was uncomfortable. But I just kind of stood there.
I mean, we were about to go on. We were pretty nervous.
Yeah.
Live TV.
Not a feeling we're accustomed to. You know, we haven't done a ton of... The only other thing we had done prior to that was Carson Daly, the late show. But... That's different because they basically just bring cameras to your show. Like, basically, it could be tonight, you know, and they just film it. So they air it on the show and everything, but you don't feel like you're in this pressure, like, live. Okay Go situation. They're just, you're just playing your own show, mm-hmm. and you just play a couple songs, and so it's a little more of a comfortable, it's much more comfortable environment, you know. So doing it that like that was a, such a shock, you know, especially doing it for the first time, and it's such a big show. Man. Of all shows, I'm like, man, we could have done like another late night show before
yeah.
this. Huh.
Have you done anything late? Have you done anything since then?
No.
Mm-mm.
No. I've just been working on a new album. This is like the third show we've done since then.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, we've got a plan to kind of take some time off before the summer started and work on the second album. So it's kind of what we've been doing.
So we have some new stuff to try out once we do all these festivals and all that stuff coming up.
See, I know it's crazy because like even like late night shows, they're all previously recorded.
Right,
and that was like live on TV. Like, you saw us on TV, like that was.
You
happening.
Had the commercial
so,
break
like,
to set up too.
Yeah, 90 seconds. It was a clear stage.
They
set up all
that
stuff.
They have an intense team of people.
In 90
there.
Seconds, and I was like, so we're sitting at expanding our instruments. And like, 10, 9, 8, like lights are going crazy. And it's like, Ryan's
not
dressed standing
nervous.
There. We're like,
yeah, it's so ridiculous.
What the fuck is happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Maybe in like 5 years, I'll be used to that feeling or something. Like, I don't even feel like
this.
There's no way this can feel comfortable for anybody.
No, it's the thing, because it's rarely actually live. So like, even if you do all this stuff, like most of it's pre-recorded.
Yeah, I was expecting like to be like a pre-recorded guy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But no,
that's what
happened.
Yeah, I heard the voices actually.
The voices all pre-recorded.
They said there's only we had a friend that was on it, and
mm-hmm.
he got pretty far. And
yes.
they said there's only one artist that actually performed live on air, and I think it was more of a. Issue rather than just because she wanted, like, I think there was something that was like she was late for something. I forget, she had to do it live basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Ellie Goulding. And he said she killed it, she was great. But all the other artists, if they like, they said one time, he was saying Christina Aguilera actually messed up once. She was singing that song, Say Something.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first note she comes in on apparently was like, she was like, either sharp, she was like, ah! And she like called it off. She's like, stop the song. And he had already done like a verse and a half. Like, he plays like half the song by himself.
Gotta keep going.
And she's like, nope, we niched every day.
The contestants are live.
She's like, I ain't messing this up on TV.
Poor contestants.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I know they have to do that every week.
They get to learn. Especially with them. Yeah.
What do you
social media, they get to learn from everybody.
What do you guys think about shows like American Idol and The Voice where the winner, like, a lot of the winners don't ever really end up doing anything
right.
big? Do you think it hampers them by winning that? Or, like, you have people like Daughtry, I feel like he's probably been bigger than a lot of the winners.
Totally,
yeah.
Because he got to kind of go do his own thing.
I mean, there's been a few, like, Kelly Clarkson, Pickler, Daughtry.
Was Carrie Underwood on?
Underwood, yeah. Was Pickler?
There's only a handful of them, like Ruben Studdard, what's he doing?
She didn't win, but yeah. Philip Phillips is doing really well.
It's weird, you know, like it's one of those things, it's like,
you get the exposure,
the
right?
idea of it, you know, it's so exciting for all these people, and they're realistic, you know, realistically, yeah, a huge percentage of them aren't going to. But I feel like, in some ways it's good, and in some ways it's bad, you know, because in ways it's bad, it's, I feel like it's in certain ways with music now, it's almost changing everything to be so disposable, you know, like, whoever wins, like, the winner of this year at The Voice, it just happened, you know, he might have a great single, and it might work out, you know, he could be lucky and have that thing, or, I mean, they're going to probably pop out another season, probably.
Yeah,
like,
if he doesn't
get
the single out before the next season starts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how you handle
got,
it.
Yeah,
after all that.
Yeah.
You gotta,
they do like two seasons a year.
Still.
So they're already forgetting about the other 8 top contestants who are great singers. There's so many great singers, and I think it's good in the way that it's giving them a chance, but I feel like in certain ways it's up to them and the situation and so much other stuff that maybe isn't fair, isn't in their control to just work out for it to happen. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I've heard CeeLo Green did a song with a girl that wasn't even in the top 3 of one of the seasons, but for whatever reason, you know, they just, I guess, vibed well and she was able to do it. So it can open these doors for you if you're, I guess, in the right place at the right time to make them happen. But yeah, I think the whole idea of if I win, I'm the next star isn't necessarily true. You know?
Yeah, I feel like that was, they kind of made it like that with the first one,
sure.
and they should have stopped with it there.
Well, it's
yeah.
not a songwriting competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it does get tough, though, because everything is so disposable, man.
That would be something
I'd
watch, too.
Yeah, there's so much, yeah, it's a good idea.
So many singing.
Yeah, there's like a new one now with a big screen with all the voters or like live stream that's.
And then, like,
they don't seem crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, it kind of makes me nervous because the way that, just the rotation of it is so fast. It almost like you get your like it's almost like what do they call it? 5 minutes? It's like 30 seconds of fame now or something. It's like, oh, you're in the top. You're like number 5 on iTunes, and then like a week later, you're like,
yeah.
I mean, it kind of sucks because like artists like us, like you know, we started touring, and when we started touring, no one was at our shows. So like when we sucked, no one was watching us. You know, we kind of grew as our crowds grew, and you know, become a better performer and you're better live. And you know, by the time you're playing full room, you've been doing it a while. You know, but they really grow in front of the entire nation. You know, like they take all that criticism and all like the social media stuff. So like, I can't even imagine the pressure.
They've never had to like stand there and be critiqued that harshly before.
Well,
they're just like put
like,
right into
people
it.
People are it's like idiots. I mean, there's so many people on the internet like. They just say stupid stuff, and they don't think that they're like actually, you know, people are hearing this stuff. But, like,
it's easy to it's way easier to be negative than it is positive.
Sure, totally. It's easier to remember the negative. That you have to like remind yourself to focus on.
Because if people say good job, you're like, all right, well, what is the guy that doesn't like me think?
It's like a
weird human thought.
Yeah. What's his deal?
We're the same way, you know. Like I try to. I love the social media in the sense that, you know, you can really stay connected with fans, because I feel like in a sense that's kept us alive as a band, you know, because we've started slow, you know, we ramped up. So if it wasn't for making a real connection in those shows where we maybe had 10 people there, and they next night we had 30 people there, you know, and it's growing and growing, I feel like those fans we've made are amazing fans and great people. We've met so many great people, but at the same time, part of me just doesn't even want to have any of it anymore, you're gonna get on it just because I hate to, you know, it's just like you wake up, and you're like, man, royalties blows. I'm like, oh, and I'm just like, wake up, I'm like, okay, you know, it's like, it never feels good to hear that stuff. And I mean, it's a part of the job, you know, you throw yourself out there, and people are gonna want to say it, but you know, it hurts, world. It hurts.
Watch what you're saying, guys.
It's like the Ricky Gervais commercial. Like the
Accurate
commercial.
Oh, yeah.
He's like reading all the
like
tweets.
And
it's like, what does this mean?
it
means I'm doing something right. It's all so harsh.
Social media, though, really has, I feel like, helped bands, especially in this day and age, because you can get all of your music out there, you can share it with people, you can interact with fans, like you said, and get 10 to turn into 30 to turn into 60 to full rooms.
Absolutely.
Like, what have you guys noticed the most? Like, what has helped you the most with social media? And I guess, besides the negative comments, what has been the worst from it?
Well, Hef's really good at managing our social media, so he's become our social media guru. So I guess you would know mostly what we're, I guess you feel like we're benefiting from.
I think, anyways. No, I think it's great because, just kind of the obvious, you can talk to your fans, you can listen to your fans, you can, you know, really just interact with their fans and, you know, do creative things that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And
From giving away tickets to a show
so that
more people will look at the post, more people will maybe share the post or try, you know, so like this to get 2 tickets. So like every show that we play locally, we're actually giving random fans tickets to our show. So those people are remembering that experience. Well, we play at Jazz Fest, which is a cool festival in New Orleans, and we gave a mom and their son tickets, and I feel like that was a good connection that we wouldn't have had any other way. So it's cool in the small level that you can really actually make, you know, people always say make a connection, and it's usually, you know, it's just a band playing with people that like it. And it's not really, but you actually get to meet these people, and social media helps a lot with that, keep making that stuff happen.
Absolutely, and I think we like, you know, we all say the age of the rock star is over. There's no, like, mystery, you know?
Right.
So you just, like, let people in, and you let them in to your personal lives at a certain level. And I feel like a lot of times if people come to shows and they feel like they already know us personally, you know, like at the merch booth, they'll talk to us and it sounds a little creepy, but, you know, like very service, like they know things about us and they, you know, they will talk about certain posts we made or certain things we've done, like, oh, how was this in this city? Like, I saw y'all did this. And, you know, it was just kind of cool because I think people, like, really enjoy that and they can relate to that. And, like, we're all human. We're all, like, really down-to-earth people. And I think people see that through our social media.
We've made some actual, you know, real friends too. Doing, you know, certain people now when you're in certain areas of town, we hit them up and they just hang out with them. And
that's cool.
Yeah, we get them drunk and we let them sleep in our hotel room if they can't come home.
So you don't prefer that way to like the mystique? You'd rather have
Don't get me wrong. I think mystique works great for some bands. We're just not that bad.
So you're never going to just paint your faces like
no,
this.
Can't guarantee that though.
No. It works for some.
If we can get the money, it'd be cool to have a really mystique like live show with like lights and all that fun stuff. But then any other way, you know, we're meeting you after the show. We're sitting back, so we're not going to run away and hide.
Yeah,
because
it used to be the only way to go see a band was to go to the show. Right?
Yeah.
There'd be no other way.
Absolutely.
Like, no media exposure, anything like that.
Yeah.
Like,
it's still fun.
Yeah, every show, we go to our merch table and we talk to
as
many people as we can.
That's awesome.
Gary and Norris sell a merch every single night.
Hustling.
Hustling.
Making them dollars.
And it's help. It's cool. It's cool to, you know, it's almost a form of instant gratification for us where like, you can hear people talk about the show and how, you know, really excited about the show that just happened.
It's cool in certain ways, too,
because
we met, I do a little test, you know, for certain shows, if we play a new song, I'll name the title of the song and certain songs I won't, just to see if people will point out certain songs because they heard it or remembered it. So it's kind of fun now with these new songs to hear, try to pay attention to, what was that third song y'all played? The one with something, they say like a word, and I'm like, a lot of people really like this song. So it's like a good way to kind of test some of your new material to see what people are really digging, and we're like there to actually chat with you about it. You know, say, oh, we played a few new ones, you know, and then you can tell which ones they don't really like. And those get worked on a little bit more.
We listen.
Yeah.
How many people come up to you guys and tell you that they've heard you from FIFA?
A good bit, yeah.
Did you guys play the game?
I heard that.
Were you super excited when you found out you were going to be in FIFA?
I was, and our old guitar player, Stevie, he's a big soccer fan, so he was really stoked. I think he had to end up taking it off of his, like, game playlist, though, because he got tired of, like, hearing him. Like, oh, just cool for a little while, and it's like, oh, no. Like, edit playlist, remove royalty, while.
I feel like it was huge for the song, too, and it's not like this, they had a fan video. You know, we didn't even post a YouTube fan video. It was just a picture with the song. And FIFA, for whatever reason, picked that on their website.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, within, like, the month of it being out, it just shot up in views, like, a lot. You know, we kept finding this video. I was like, holy crap, I don't even know how many it has now. But it was a lot. And at the time, we didn't have any videos that had views like that. So that was like, the first, like, mind-blowing. We didn't have a video.
But before we had our music video.
How were y'all, like, approached for that?
Yeah, how'd you get on it?
I think that one was our label president. They had a connection through EA Sports, like, whoever does their
all department. Yeah, I guess they all get together. And
yeah.
It's kind of, it sounds more professional, but the way you made it sound is like, you know, you get together with a room and they show you bands are excited about, so I just played y'all and everyone really liked it. And I was like, that's very awesome.
Yeah.
that was a
really big one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really cool thing.
So, because FIFA is like a worldwide game,
it
too.
Is.
So other countries are getting.
I think it's the highest sports
I think it
game
is
in the world.
Yeah.
The
biggest one.
Yeah.
So everybody outside of America likes soccer. Right?
Yeah.
We had a lot of people arguing on some of the YouTube videos about where they heard the song, and a lot of FIFA and a lot of serious
all
nations.
It's like, what are you doing?
It's all love. Do you like the song? Why you got argued about?
That's just like the natural state of commentary on the internet.
It's
yeah.
just
like,
angry. YouTube's the worst.
Yeah, you can't say anything without someone. No, you
can
do that.
You can't.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You heard this on FIFA?
Okay.
I could say this normally, but they're not like with me, so I'm just gonna hate it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But
yeah, but that was
just,
there's
a lot of noise back here. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
no,
that's fine.
Sound check.
Are you getting that?
Just how many Buicks did you guys get?
Oh, yeah,
we got
a back commercial.
Buicks.
Buick.
Two Buicks per member plus one for our soda.
Traveling in style now.
No, we didn't even get a damn cell phone for Samsung.
Yeah.
We got zero Buicks.
Yes, I'm sure they were.
I told y'all I went and got this. This is the one they sent.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
No, we didn't get any cars.
We just got a little bit of money to live off of.
Yeah,
that's nice.
For what?
You have to pay some bills.
FIFA's probably the only one of my games that we got the game. I don't have an Xbox or whatever you
play on. I don't have a Nintendo.
One of these Dreamcasts.
One of those game consoles.
one of those. I think that's the only sync they gave us.
Yeah. I mean, and that's changing. This whole sync commercial game has changed the world of music. I mean, for small bands like us to get a view of commercial, you know, they, you know, obviously they pay you for those things, and that kind of money can keep a band like us alive for, you know, a year or this long. So we, you know, you get those things and they sound so ballin', but really it just goes into this, like, stay alive pot. You just tore off stuff like that.
Yeah. That's actually,
that's your hotel budget. That's your gas budget. You know,
we didn't take an advance from our label. So, like, we wanted to be, like, 100% recruited, like, day one. So we chose not to, and we actually got the Buick deal before we signed the deal with Danger Bird. So we didn't have to split it with anybody. Like,
okay.
At that time, we owned the master. So we just put it in an account. And that's what created the, basically created an opportunity for us to quit our jobs and quit school. And we just budgeted out for something we knew for 8 months or whatever it was. And we were just going to get a paycheck the first month just to live off of. So we created a salary for ourselves. And that's how we've been doing it ever since. Anytime we get any kind of big income, we just put in our band account.
Smart way to do it.
Yeah.
It's not just like, hey, I'm
going to
go buy a boat, because
I,
you know, it's like...
We could, but then you'd be working at Starbucks on a boat, which could be cool, I mean...
Yeah.
Then you'd have to keep up that boat, too.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Yeah.
Boat be done in a month.
It's a major deal, dude. You guys are at Royal Teeth Music.
Yes.
On Twitter,
yeah.
At royalteethmusic.com,
yes.
For all dates and appearances and buy the album and everything.
Facebook,
yes, sir.
Just Royal Teeth, and Instagram is Royal Teeth.
Well, I know you guys want to go eat some food, so I'm going to let you guys get out of here.
You got one more?
Yeah. Okay, so what area of the country have y'all gotten the best response
from? Oh, man, I think.
Besides you, sir.
Actually, Houston, it's crazy. Houston and Dallas, like, and Austin, like, those are three markets that we haven't had a lot of radio presence, but they've all been really great markets for us. So thanks, Texas. But
what's been the worst?
Obvious, but a lot of the big cities, man, like L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, on the West Coast, San Diego, they've all been killing.
So West Coast,
Kansas City, but then East Coast. I mean, Philly is probably our biggest market. Columbus is here. It's kind of random.
Yeah,
it's very
scary. Let's see, where have we not done so hot at?
Boise, Idaho.
Who does anything?
Who does well at
Idaho?
Toledo.
Omaha, Nebraska. Toledo, Ohio.
Was the worst.
Ruston, Louisiana.
Ruston.
Yeah, so the Midwest is
never there.
Columbus, yeah.
Well,
Columbus is
well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Biggest
we had two really terrible shows and one really good show in good old Pawtucket.
Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Yeah, Pawtucket.
So these places you haven't really heard of are generally the places that
right? Seems to have a trend.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a lot of it depends. Like if radio really backs the song, and it's
there. You have it. Where is that?
Oh,
there you have
it.
Minneapolis. There you have it. Minneapolis. There's like six people there. That's not that live the band we played with ended their set. That's the song here. Well, there you have it.
That's hilarious.
It's so funny.
But that's the thing, you have to do it all every show.
You still gotta go out there and do it, man.
For instance, Paul Tuckett, it's like we played two really crappy shows with probably 40 or 50 people there. But those people came back the next time because they had fun the first time. And then the third time we played in Paul Tuckett, it was sold out. It was awesome. That was with the Mowgli. So like now, like Paul Tuckett's a good market. You know, like you just never know when it's gonna turn around.
Right.
Yeah. Just don't be a jerk.
You gotta be persistent.
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds really cliche, but you gotta give her all every night.
Like, coach.
There's no reason for us to grab
seats.
Say there's six people at your show. Obviously, for us, it's not really good for morale, but those six people aren't mad at it. They want to see us. So I'm not gonna walk out and be like, you guys, you suck.
They're listening to
you. Yeah, so I'm not going to.
Everyone who's not here sucks.
Yeah. So you have to really, that's the kind of stuff in the back of my mind. Like, I can't suck because, then I'm stuck for six people, and that's about as low as you can get.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm going to make this awesome for them because they actually have the time to come out. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's our set list like tonight?
We have like this.
So,
there it is.
Yes,
we got some old ones and we got some.
Let's see,
what
mix? 1, 2, 3
brand new.
3, 4, 5 songs. 6 songs from Glow. Where we're playing 4 new songs?
Yeah, 3.
3 new songs.
3 new songs?
3 new songs and then a couple from the EP. So we try to spread it out, so just in case. We're excited to play the new stuff, but we know that no one else really knows it, so we test, you know, seeing how many
kind
we
of test it out.
The new stuff's always fun, because you can tell people, like, for the most part, enjoy it. But just,
yeah,
like, they don't know what to do at that point. They're like,
is it?
Yeah,
what is it? Cool. They said when they were playing arenas, but they said like whenever they try new songs, if the exit signs disappear, like you can't see the exit signs in each row or each section, it's because people are going to the bathroom. The shadow is blocking. So it's like, we know, we watch the exit signs. If you see the exit signs, you're doing good. But once they start disappearing, it's like, then it's like we got to change the songs. So it's beer time. Yeah,
just watch the bar.
Yeah.
Man, that bar is full of
it. Everyone is paying.
Oh, well, thanks for doing the podcast with us, guys.
Yeah,
maybe we can be your Houston friends now.
Yeah, there you
hang
go,
out
man.
With us when you come back.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see you guys tonight. Looking forward to it. And pass the gravy, bitches.
Pass the gravy.